Well, it does feel good to get invited to something, doesn't it? I mean, we all remember the joy of getting an invitation to a friend's birthday party in elementary school, or being invited over for a sleepover, or being invited to participate in some special extracurricular activity like a team or dance or theater group, or being invited to being invited to a dance, or being invited on a date, or being invited to be a part of a special group or task force at work. An invitation is the act of requesting the presence and participation of someone. That's why it feels so good to be invited. It makes us feel valued and welcomed and included. It makes us anticipate experiencing something or offering something worthwhile. I still remember getting the invitation in the mail to be a part of Duke University's class of 2008. I had slipped on my shoes in anticipation that it might come that day. And I had slipped on my shoes, you know, when you're in a hurry and they're tied and you don't want to unlace them, so you just smash the back of the heel and go out anyway. So I walked out to the end of the driveway, opened it up, saw that invitation in there, ran screaming down the driveway on my tippy toes all the way back to the house. Feels good to be invited to something. What's the greatest invitation that you've ever received? The truth is, the greatest, most life-giving invitations we ever receive come from Jesus. Jesus extends many invitations to his disciples, requesting their presence and their participation in his life and in the kingdom of God. And those invitations beckon to us today as well. After all, discipleship revolves around a relationship, an ongoing relationship with Jesus. It's both a journey of learning and a relationship, which of course means it can never be stagnant. Jesus is always inviting us. We're always being invited by Jesus to grow and to learn and to love and to serve in closer proximity to him so that our lives start to look more like his life. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at six invitations that Jesus extends. Hearing and responding to these six invitations from Jesus helps us to define our life of faith and discipleship and provides a framework for how we engage others in faith and help grow our own. Today, we begin with Jesus' invitation to come and see. Come and see. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us and transform us, that we might live for you and might bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Listen for God's word. The next day, John was standing again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking along, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he asked, "What are you looking for?" They said, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He replied, "Come and see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it seems like a kind of strange interaction and invitation. "What are you looking for?" Jesus asks. "Where are you staying?" Two of John the Baptist's disciples answer. "Come and see," Jesus says. Wait, what? Jesus' amazing invitation is to come and check out his house? Look at these fine mud bricks. The Gospel of John has introduced us to Jesus earlier in chapter 1 using some very poetic language. Jesus is described as the divine Word who was God and was with God from the beginning. He's described as God's glorious presence tabernacling or tenting or abiding in the flesh with us. He's described as light shining in the darkness for all people. Some people welcomed the light, some people did not. Light is a very important theme throughout John's gospel. Light and seeing are both connected and related to right understanding and right knowing and belief about the God revealed in Jesus Christ. Then contrast, blindness or darkness relate to not knowing or understanding. Remember that. And just before this scripture passage that we read this morning, we're told that John the Baptist, who was a prophet, was preaching and was baptizing people, testifying about Jesus. One day he saw Jesus and cried out, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now this is a hyperlink to the prophet Isaiah, who talked about a messianic suffering servant who would help deal with the problem of sin. The next day, John saw Jesus again. This time, two of John's pupils or disciples were with him. And John says, "Look, the Lamb of God." Apparently, hearing John say this was enough for those two pupils of John to start following Jesus. It reminds me of what we do when someone tells us about an exciting new restaurant or business or someone interesting on social media that they find compelling. What do? We follow that page or that person. We start leaning in, right? We're curious. We're intrigued. Those disciples are obviously curious and intrigued by this man that John identifies as the Lamb of God. There's something significant about him. They want to get a closer look. They want more than just John's words about him. Then Jesus' question anticipates not just their own quest, but really the human quest in general. What are you looking for? What are you seeking? What are you searching for and hoping to find? Nothing like being put on the spot with like the deepest existential question there is, right? What are you looking for? They could have said to Jesus, peace, victory over Rome, hope, never to fish again. Instead, they say, "Teacher, where are you staying?" This question has layers. They are asking where Jesus hangs out. They want to be where he is. And to be where someone resides or dwells or hangs out is to be in their intimate space. And interestingly, that word stay in the Greek is the same word that Jesus uses later in the Gospel of John to talk about the interrelationship between he, his Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit. And so the question suggests that they want to do more than simply check out the bricks of Jesus' home. They want to attach themselves to Jesus with him as their teacher, they as his students. They are so curious and so intrigued by him that they want to be where he is, even in his home. Of course, Jesus stays, abides, remains wherever God's work needs to be done. And then Jesus makes his invitation. It's not a direct answer, but a request of their presence and their participation to find out for themselves. Come and see. Come and see. Not, you've got to have some baseline knowledge first. Not, well, you better take a few more classes with John the Baptist first. Not, well, you better say this prayer first. Jesus doesn't even tell them specifically where he is staying. He doesn't tell them specifically what he's all about first, not this initial encounter. He would have understood their question about where he stayed as a desire to be his students. He doesn't say, "Here's some facts about me that you should know up front first. I had a crazy birth. I'm here. I'm from here, but I'm not from here. I'm a teacher, a prophet, and Messiah." He simply says, "Hey, come and see. Come and find out." It's a very open invitation. Jesus is inviting them and inviting us, no matter where we are or are not in our life, in our faith journey, to come and see what he is like and what he is about, to see what he cares about, to see how he loves, to see how he lives, to see how he speaks and acts. To be invited to come and see where Jesus is abiding is about the opportunity to experience him. Experience him. To have a practical contact and encounter with him. Because Jesus never forces himself upon us. Love and trust can't be forced. It's an invitation to taste and see for ourselves, no matter how much or how little exposure we've had to Jesus before. It is to feel his footprints make imprints on the landscape of our lives. Because when we say yes, because before we say yes to something important, before we commit, before we go all in, we need to be able to trust. We do this all the time in life. It's why my kindergartner had a preview day before school really started so that he could go in for a half day and experience what it would be like. Come and see. It's why we had a tasting before our wedding so that we could experience what the food served was going to be like. Come and see. It's why we test drive a car before buying it, right? To experience what it's like to drive it. Come and see. It's why colleges give immersive tours. It's why the United Methodist Church gives a taste and see experience to people who are discerning a call to ministry so they can experience what ministry is like in the places that it happens. Come and see. It's why we say all the time when someone asks us about something incredibly special or unique, what it's like, we say, oh, you're going to have to come and experience it for yourself. Come and see. Because there's something more to it than simple facts or words or information can convey. Friends, how much more so with Jesus? Come and see. Is Jesus' gracious offer to be near to him and to ask the hard questions and to check him out to see if he's for real, to get a sense of who he is based on what he does and what he says? Come and see is Jesus' half-day kindergarten, his wedding tasting, his test drive, his college tour. Come and see. And remember, light and seeing in John's gospel is about right knowing and understanding. Can you really understand something fully if you haven't experienced it? When Jesus makes his invitation to come and see, he's talking about inviting us to get to know him and experience him rightly and intimately. Now, for some, it might take many experiences to get a sense of who he is. It might take a while to rightly see Jesus and what he is about. That's okay. There's a great story later in John's gospel about a man who is blind, who Jesus heals, and at first Jesus touches his eyes, and he tells Jesus, whoa, I still got blurry vision. The people look like trees walking around. Jesus touches his eyes again, and then he begins to see clearly. At first, Jesus and the life of faith might be blurry as we see him with the eyes of our heart. Might be blurry at first as we experience him where he is. The eyes of our hearts have to adjust, But it is precisely in these experiences, in this gradual seeing, that we come closer to saying yes with more and more of who we are. It might take many experiences of Jesus, with Jesus, for us to finally see who he is and to put our lives fully in his hands. But experiencing him where he abides first is everything for faith. Experiencing him where he abides is everything for faith. RSVPing to experiencing Jesus is everything. Christian formation and education expert John Westerhoff talks about four phases of faith formation. And he describes them like concentric rings on a tree that each build on each other. As a tree trunk develops, so do the rings throughout the years. And so does faith develop a variety of stages over time as a person matures. Each stage builds on and upon the one before. So the inner ring, the crucial first phase of faith formation, say that four times fast, I just realized that. The first phase of faith formation, according to Westerhoff, is what he calls experienced faith. Experienced faith, the first and foundational stage. This is formation through immersion and participation, through experience. This is kids being brought to church and experiencing hugs, being loved on. This is singing songs, smelling smells, seeing candles lit, picking up a Bible without understanding fully what's going on, taking Holy Communion, sitting in worship or a small group. This is the Advent wreath. This is the sights and sounds of worship and the life of faith. And it's all based on experience and not cognitive understanding first. Not cognitive understanding. By participating and experiencing, we come to get to know a Jesus of love and wonder and mystery and goodness. We may have a spiritual experience with Jesus that transcends our modern categories and defy explanation, but we know what we experienced. Maybe an overwhelming sense of peace or assurance, a sense of our hearts being warmed or exceedingly joyful, a feeling that the deepest part of us is held and loved. This is why it's so crucial for people young in faith, whether in age or those who are seeking or curious, to simply show up and experience things, to try Jesus out, to experience Jesus in and through the church and worship and the Bible and through serving others and through the people who follow him. Come and see is Jesus' invitation to have that inner ring of our faith formed. Our RSVP to that provides the foundation for all the invitations that Jesus offers next. Because relationship with Jesus, the life of faith doesn't come, relationship with Jesus, the life of faith doesn't begin at the end of an argument. It doesn't start at the end of a lot of information. It comes from experiencing Jesus. It comes from taking Jesus up on his invitation to come and see. It comes from experiencing, from tasting and seeing what Jesus is like and what he's about. It comes from giving ourselves permission to go and hang out where he hangs out, to spend a little time with him, to be radically open to whatever we see or experience or learn. Jesus is inviting you to come and see, to come and experience, to come sample what life with him is like. Come experience him in the intimacy of the place he abides. Come and experience life and hope and joy and purpose and salvation by going closer to where he is. Come to worship, pick up a Bible, serve in the community, join a small group, help the poor and the marginalized, be where Jesus is and just see what happens. Maybe you've had a hard time with some of the ways you've seen Christians behave, or maybe you've had bad experiences with the church, but you're at least intrigued by this man named Jesus. Jesus invites you to come and see. Come and experience what he's like. Give yourself permission to RSVP. Maybe you spent your whole life searching for something deeper and more, and you've tried all kinds of things, but they only ever get you so far, and you're still left wanting more. Again, Jesus invites you to come and see. Come and experience what he's like. Give yourself permission to RSVP. Maybe you're curious about Christianity, about Jesus, but you have so many questions and you have your doubts and your fears. Jesus invites you to come and see, even if you don't understand. Come and experience what he's like. Give yourself permission to RSVP. Maybe you're longing for that fire that you had in your heart once when you were younger in your faith, and now it's dwindled down and you want it to burn bright again. Jesus invites you to come and see, to come and experience him afresh, what he's like. Give yourself permission to RSVP. The disciples RSVP to Jesus' invitation to come and see. And they remained with him that day, and of course, well beyond. And their first experience with Jesus was so powerful that John records the time. It was 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Why else would you include that marvelous little detail? And think about what they would go on to see and experience. Water turned to wine. 5,000 people fed with a few fish and loaves. Blind man given sight. Lepers cleansed. Sharing a drink with a Samaritan woman. Washing the disciples' feet. Dying on a cross. Rising from the grave. Come and see. Come see it all. It feels good to be invited to something. Feels even better to be invited by Jesus to experience him, to meet him, to spend time with him. The invitation, friends, is before us. Will we RSVP? May each and every one of us say yes and experience Jesus in a powerful way. And may it be just the beginning of a new or renewed life of faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.